Last month, we began a series of messages on the subject of prayer. And I've talked a lot about, or I've talked about how the majority of prayer requests given in churches have to do with people's physical needs. And out of the different physical needs that people request prayer for, I speculate that probably 80% of those prayer requests have to do with people being sick or having surgery or people that maybe has been in an accident or they've gotten some sort of injury. In other words, the vast majority of our prayer requests are related to people needing to be healed or get better. And therefore, since Christians spend so much of their time praying for people that are sick and in need of healing, it only seems to make sense that I should at least do a message on what does the Bible say about praying for healing, or what does the Bible say about praying for people that are sick. And so the first thing I want us to do, what I want to do is actually give you a list of verses where God promises to heal us. And so I'd encourage you to get something out and just write these down. And when you're ready to write these down, say ready. Well, that was quick. If I gave you a Bible verse, I don't ever get that real quick like that. All right, here are the Bible verses that promise healing. You ready? Okay. Okay, here we go. Did you get them? Did you write them down? Yeah. Does anybody need me to repeat them? Here's my point, folks. There are over 3,000 promises. This book right here, that's what this is. It's called All the Promises of the Bible. Over 3,000 of them. There's not a single promise in Scripture where God says He will heal us if we pray for it or if we have enough faith. Not a single promise. So you take your list, review it when you get home. Yet that is overwhelmingly the most sought after prayer request given by Christians today. Therefore, the majority of our prayers consist of us praying for something we have no promise of ever seeing come to pass. Now, let me say, and I've said this repeatedly through this series of messages on prayer, we should pray for people that are sick. And I want to say again, we should pray for people that are sick. But it should not be up here on our list. Now, out of all the prayers listed in the New Testament epistles, I could only find one time where someone was praying for someone else's health. And so, let's take our Bibles out. We will use them today. And let's turn to the book of 3 John. I know you guys read that one frequently. If you don't know where 3 John is, it's after 2 John. It's actually, just go to the book of Revelation and go back two books and you'll get there. And when you get there, say, that was pretty easy. Wow. Very short, yes, one page, one book. All right. This letter, the letter of 3 John, is a letter that the Apostle John is writing to a friend by the name of Gaius. Let's just read verses 1 and 2. It says to the elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you. There you have it, folks. That's pretty much it. It is John writing an introduction in his letter to his friend Gaius that has been feeling a little under the weather. It is really nothing more than just a typical greeting. It's like saying to someone, I hope you get feeling better. Now, let me throw out a couple side notes for you here. Within the Pentecostal, the charismatic movement, they believe and teach that the gift of healing is still in operation within the churches today. But notice that the Apostle John must not have thought so. Or he certainly would have recommended that his friend go see someone in his church that has the gift of healing. Secondly, notice that John did not say, "By his stripes we are healed," as so many Christians today quote to someone that's sick. "By his stripes we are healed" was first written by an Old Testament prophet named Isaiah and later repeated by the Apostle Peter. And it's one of the most abused and twisted verses in the whole Bible. I put it right up there with how Christians twist and abuse that Philippians 4:13. "By his stripes we are healed" has absolutely nothing to do with being healed of sicknesses or diseases. If you read it within its context, you see that it is talking about what Jesus went through so that we could be delivered from our sin sickness, not our physical sickness. And finally, there are a great deal of Christians that believe that James 5 is talking about physical healing when James wrote, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up." But if James is talking about physical healing there when he says that, then why didn't John recommend that to his friend Gaius to go see the elders of his church and have them anoint him with oil and he'd be healed? I'll tell you why. Because James wasn't talking about physical sickness. He's talking about spiritual sickness. And instead of me elaborating on that today, if you want to hear more on that, go back to my sermon on May 13th of 2015, and I actually taught on that. Now, let's take our Bibles, let's turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. When you get there, say, "I love the Lord." Real enthusiastic there in what I've heard so far. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Thank you, Terry. I knew you'd come through, even today. All right. Paul has written this letter to one of his ministry partners. The guy's name is what? Yeah, it's Timothy. You guys got that right? And he's just sort of wrapping up the letter he wrote to Timothy. So let's read chapter 4, verses 19 through 22. He says, "Greet Priscilla." Now, some of your translations will say Prisca. "So greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesimus," or Onesphorus. "Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers. The Lord be with you. Be with your spirit, and grace be with you." Now, I find something sort of odd here. You think that Paul, being the Apostle Paul, the Apostle specifically chosen by Jesus, the man that wrote over 60% of the New Testament, the man that God used to author a great deal of church practices and church doctrines, would have certainly suggested that Timothy and his churches be praying for Trophimus, who was sick. But he didn't. You would think that if 80 to 90% of the prayer requests given in churches back then were related to praying for sick people, Paul would have certainly said something like, "Keep him in your prayers." But he didn't. Now let's go back one more book. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. When you get there, don't say anything. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 5. What we have here is Paul giving some advice about his sickness, So let's read verse 23. We all know this one. "Timothy, stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses." There's a couple things I find interesting here about Paul's advice to Timothy. First of all, Timothy was an elder. He was a pastor. And so if James chapter 5 was actually talking about physical healing like so many teach today, you would certainly think that Paul would advise Timothy to have some of the other elders in his church anoint him with oil, pray over him so he could be healed. Especially when one of the reasons that Paul even wrote the letter to Timothy to begin with was to explain the responsibility of the elders. But he didn't do it. And in addition to that, the book of James had been written about 15 years before Paul had gave Timothy this advice. And so Paul and Timothy would have both been very familiar with James's words in James 5. But Paul didn't even mention that. Why? Because James wasn't talking about physical healing. And then secondly, something else I find kind of odd here about Paul's advice to Timothy is that Paul did not even suggest that Timothy find someone in his church with a gift of healing so he could be healed. Why? Because the gift of healing was a temporary gift that was limited to the apostolic age. If you want to hear more on that subject, as I said earlier, you can go back and listen to some other sermons. One of them was November 16th of 2014. I talked about that. See, the gift of healing was still... If the gift of healing was still in operation today, you would certainly think that the man that wrote more about spiritual gifts than anybody else would have certainly suggested that to Timothy. But he didn't. Thirdly, Paul, you would think, would have certainly told Timothy, by his stripes you're healed. But he didn't. Finally, Paul didn't even say, Timothy, I will keep you in my prayers. Now, am I saying that God does not heal people today? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that at all. Let's go to the second chapter of the book of Philippians. And when you get there, say, what about Epaphroditus? Very good, Vicki. Very good, Sarah. Just not hearing a lot of what about Epaphroditus's. You guys think I come here to preach. I come here to just harass you. Are we there? Well, folks, here's the deal. Epaphroditus had been sent by the Philippian church to take a gift to the Apostle Paul, who was sitting in prison up in Rome. And so Epaphroditus needed to return back to the church in Philippi, and that's where Paul picks up here, beginning with verse 25. He says, "But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was sick." Indeed, he was sick and almost died. But God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. We are not told what was wrong with Epaphroditus. But whatever it was serious enough that it almost took his life. And God stepped in and healed him. And so, folks, God can, and God does, still heal people today. And there's nothing wrong for asking God to heal someone. But my point is this. First of all, I've already said this, God does not promise anywhere in His Word to heal us. As a matter of fact, the only promises God does give us about sickness is that we will get sick from time to time. And at some point, we all die. Those are the promises you have for sickness. And secondly, seeking God to heal people was not the primary concern of the New Testament Christians. Today, 80 to 90% of prayer requests given have to do with people's physical well-being. But back then, 99% of prayer requests had to do with people's spiritual well-being. See how we reverse that over time? Well, what about Jesus? Jesus has seen healing multitudes of people. What about the apostles? The apostles, they healed all kinds of people too. Folks, Jesus healed people for several reasons, but the primary purpose was to authenticate to the Jewish people that he was indeed the Messiah that God had been promising all along throughout the Old Testament. There's a story, you guys are probably familiar with this story, it's in Matthew 11, you don't need to turn there, but it's a story where John the Baptist had been thrown in prison. And John the Baptist is beginning to question, is Jesus really the Messiah? Because things aren't working out for John. He's sitting in prison about to be beheaded. And John was the forerunner to the Messiah. And so it says, John sent a couple guys to Jesus to ask Jesus, are you the one who was to come? Or should we expect someone else? And it says, Jesus replied, go tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And so, yes, Jesus did heal multitudes of people, but the primary purpose for doing so was so that the people would know that he was indeed the Messiah that they'd been waiting for hundreds of years. And I'd also like to note, Jesus did not heal everybody he came in contact with. As a matter of fact, I think I mentioned this Wednesday night, maybe. I'm not sure. In Mark chapter 1, you see where the multitudes are looking for Jesus to heal him. The disciples go out to find him in his prayer place and tell him, hey, the people's waiting for you, and Jesus don't even bother going. He goes to another town to preach the gospel. And so Jesus didn't heal everyone. And as for the apostles, Jesus had endowed them with the ability to heal people for a short period of time, so as to give proof to the people that they were indeed Jesus' chosen apostles and messengers. Everything at that point in time was in a transitional stage. The Messiah had finally come. He was crucified. He ascended back to the Father. The church was being born. The age of law ended. The age of grace began. The Word of God was still being written. It wasn't completely written yet. And so the apostles were gifted for a short amount of time to heal people so that the people would know with certainty that they were Jesus' true, genuine representatives. Now, are the stories we hear today about God miraculously healing people, did God really heal them? Did God really miraculously heal all these people we hear about? How do we know for sure if God heals someone? Now, I'm not going to give you a direct answer to this because I know it'll probably get me in some trouble with some of you. So what I'm going to do is just say a few things. I'm going to let you come up with your own conclusions. Every time God healed someone in Scripture, they were immediately healed. It didn't take hours. It didn't take days. And it didn't take weeks. They didn't need to take treatments. They didn't need to take medicine. They didn't need to go through therapy when God healed them. When God healed people in Scripture, there was no recuperation period. They were instantly up and about. They didn't need to have 3 days bed rest. They didn't have lifting restrictions put on them. When God healed people in Scripture, they were completely healed. They were never partially healed. When the lame was told to walk, they didn't walk with a limp. When the blind was given sight, they didn't need glasses. See, what we need to understand, folks, is that God has designed our bodies in such a way that, for the most part, they heal themselves. God has given mankind the materials, the wisdom, and the skills to treat sicknesses and diseases. Therefore, most of the time when we get better, it's simply a result of the natural process that God has already set in place, or the results of science and medicine and good doctors. So, what are some of the causes behind our sicknesses and diseases? And the reason I want to touch on this is because I think it can help us understand how to pray for someone that's sick or injured. First of all, the main reason we get sick is this. We just simply live in a decaying world. It results in us living in a world that's filled with sicknesses and diseases and germs and bacteria and viruses and so on. Therefore, we're going to get sick. It's just part of the natural process of living in a decaying world. If you remember Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:16, he said, outwardly, we're wasting away. Secondly, sometimes we just get sick as a result of our own decisions and our own actions. God gives us principles throughout His Word on proper sanitation, hygiene, diets, physical exercise, taking time to rest, anger, worry, and so on and so forth. And so when we violate those principles, there's physical repercussions. It's that simple. You just can't eat junk food all the time and expect to have a healthy heart. It's a natural result of violating some of God's principles. Another cause of sickness could be Satan. The story we're all familiar with is a guy in the Old Testament named who? Lot. Job. Ralph got it right. I said Lot and he's like, hmm? Yeah, Job. I mean, Job suffered physically, suffered emotionally. A couple times in Scripture where we're told that there were evil spirits that even caused people to have mental illnesses, psychological disorders. Then there are some times or some stories in the Gospels when we see that Satan is the cause of people, some people, to have physical disabilities or physical ailments. I mean, we see story. There's one lady in there, I think she was, said she was crippled and bent over for 18 years as a result of Satan. There were people in there that had epileptic seizures as a result of demons. And then finally, sometimes the perpetrator behind our sickness and or our disabilities is God Himself. God told Moses back in Exodus chapter 4, verse 11, He said, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf? Who makes him mute? Who gives him sight? Who makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? In the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John, there's this story about this man that had been blind since he was born. And it says his disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus turned around and he answered, he said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. John chapter 11. We got that story of Lazarus getting sick and the sisters sending word to Jesus, please come and heal my brother. And Jesus responded by saying, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. When you think back to Job, Satan was the direct agent behind Job's disease, but God gave him the permission to carry that out. And so, folks, sometimes our sickness is heaven sent with a heavenly purpose. And if that is the case, and we pray for God to heal us or to heal our loved one, we or they might completely miss out on what God's wanting to do. If Job had known that God had given Satan permission to bring a disease upon him, he would have been pretty upset. But looking back on what it done for him spiritually, I bet you Job was glad he went through the physical and emotional suffering he had to go through. I bet the man that spent his whole life being blind, if he knew that God was the one behind it, he probably would have cursed God or doing something so terrible to him. But looking back on the outcome, I bet you that man again would choose a lifetime of blindness because it opened his eyes up to eternity. when you read the story of Lazarus, you see Jesus didn't even bother healing him. I mean, not only did he not heal him, he let him go ahead and die. And then he waited 4 days to do anything about that, but he goes back and he brings him back to life. And in that story, it tells us one of the primary reasons Jesus allowed him to get sick to the point of death was because he wanted to teach the disciples to grow in faith. Folks, if Jesus would have answered his sister's prayers and just simply healed Lazarus of his sickness, there would have been a lot of people that would have missed out on a lot of eternal lessons that God wanted to teach them. Could you imagine how many people down through the last 2,000 years has come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior as a result of just that story? If Jesus would have healed him as the sisters cried out to, that would have affected a lot of people. I would imagine looking back that Lazarus and his sisters were extremely glad that Jesus did not answer their request to heal Lazarus. Sometimes God will allow sickness as a form of disciplinary action. Sometimes it's a test of our faith. Sometimes it's how He displays His glory. Sometimes it's how He gets us to slow down so we'll learn to sit at His feet. Sometimes it's His way of getting us to develop a longing for heaven. Sometimes it is for the purpose of other people and those around us. We had a friend, they've actually been here before, and they had a son who was, what do you have, cerebral palsy, Nathan? And they couldn't understand, you know, what's the deal here? They did what they could to make him normal. But that kid having cerebral palsy was able to touch so many lives that he would not have touched if he was normal. I know a gentleman here in town who has a son who supposedly has some physical issues. And this man is constantly, ever since I've been here, asking for prayers for his son. And they take him to every doctor in the state of Ohio. And at some point, I want to just step in and say, maybe God has that child that way for a reason, because that child is affecting the people around him. When you get down to it, there are times when our sicknesses or diseases have a divine purpose. And if God answered our prayers, we would completely lose out on His divine purpose in our lives. How many of you know Joni Erickson Tata? Back in 1967, Joni had a diving accident. I believe she was diving in the waters of Chesapeake Bay, and it ended up being shallower than she anticipated. Broke her neck, made her a quadriplegic, paralyzed from the neck down. For many, many years, she cried out for God to heal her. She even went to these bogus healing crusades, waiting for a miracle to be healed. To no avail. It left her kind of confused about why God wouldn't heal her. But looking back over the years, she had a change of heart about God not healing her. And so not too long ago, she was speaking at a conference out in California where she was telling the story about a time that her and her husband had went over to Israel. And they came up to the pool of Bethesda there that talks about in John 5, that story where the physically disabled and sick or whatever would go to the pool and thought if they could get pushed in the water, they'd get healed, you know, kind of thing. And she's talking in this story that her husband had rolled her in her wheelchair up to the view of the pool of Bethesda, and then he kind of went on about his business. She was there alone. And here's what she said in that conference. She said the place was dead quiet, the pool of Bethesda. She says, dead quiet. All the tour buses must have been down at the Dead Sea. And it was beautiful, she said. It was quiet. She said, I leaned there on the guardrail of the old ruin, and while Ken, her husband, had ran down and went into the cisterns to see if there was any water left in the pool of Bethesda. She said, while I was there all alone, I was alone, just myself and my Savior, and tears streaming down my face. And I said to my Lord, oh Jesus, Thank you. Thank you for a no answer to a request for physical healing. You really knew what you were doing so many years ago. Because a no answer to a request for physical healing has purged so much sin out of my life, so much selfishness and bitterness. And I know I've got a long way to go, but every day I want to make up and I want to be a different Joni than I was yesterday. I want to be a Joni that you created, that you've destined me to be. Oh God, help me to understand that a no answer to a request for physical healing has meant that I am depending more on your grace, but it's also increasing my compassion for others who are hurt and disabled. It has helped to put complaining behind me. It stretched my growth. It has pushed me to give thanks in times of sorrow. It has increased my faith. It has strengthened my hope of heaven. And it's made me love you so much more, so much more. It is such a safe, wonderful thing to be back in the inner sanctum of the fellowship of sharing in your sufferings. And I would not trade it for any amount of walking. My guess is, in those early years, Joni had requested prayer for healing hundreds and hundreds of times. I would imagine there was people all over the place asking God to heal Joni. But as she looks back on what it had accomplished in her life personally, not just in her but through her, she concluded, I would not trade it for any amount of walking. God has used her situation to spiritually grow her and develop her in ways that she would have never dreamed possible. And God has used her situation to reach multitudes of people around the world for decades. And so let me begin to wrap this up by talking about how should we pray for folks that are sick? How should we pray for folks that have a disease, they've been injured, or they're physically disabled, or what have you? First of all, pray for a healing. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. You should do that. I do it for myself at times. I've done it for others. None of us want to be sick. None of us want to be disabled. None of us want to see a loved one sick or disabled. And so, ask God to bring healing. If that's what you want to do, that's fine, that's tremendous. But remember, there's not a single promise in Scripture that says God will heal him. But there's nothing wrong with asking, because he may, as he did with Epaphroditus, have mercy and heal. Secondly, pray that God's going to give the doctors wisdom and insight into what to do and maybe how to treat the ailment. And thirdly, since times of sickness can be a real trial, ask for wisdom. That's exactly what James tells us to do back in the book of James. Ask God if there is something you need to learn as a result of what you're going through. Is your sickness a result of some sort of sin in your life? Is it just a result of living in a decaying world? Is God trying to maybe stretch your faith? Is he trying to develop in you a longing for heaven where there will be no more sickness? Maybe you're sick. Ask him, say, is it for your glory? Is it because of something he's wanting to teach someone else, as he did the disciples with Lazarus? And then finally, ask God to use your sickness for his glory. Plain and simple. Sometimes our sicknesses and our diseases are more about him than us. I know when my mom went through cancer, all she talked about was all the people in the treatment room that come to the Lord as a result of cancer. Last Tuesday, I got down here about 6:30 in the morning. 7:30, my brother calls, his name shows up on my ID, my brother calls, I already know what it's about. It's an emergency. My dad had a pretty severe heart attack at 1 o'clock in the morning. They rushed him to the hospital. He had two arteries, 100% blockage. They went in and put stents in right away. So I drove back here Tuesday. Before I left the hospital, I had prayer for my dad. My dad's saved. That's not even a question or a doubt. I pretty much prayed for all those things I just said. God, we don't like to have my dad healed. Who wouldn't? God, give the doctors wisdom and insight on how to work on my dad and how to treat him. Lord, what is it you want my dad to learn through this? And Lord, how can you get glory out of my dad having a heart attack? Do I want my dad healed and feeling better? You better believe I do. It's the only dad I got. Be nice to keep him around a little longer. But more than that, I want God to do a divine work in my dad. I want God to use my dad's heart attack to make my dad hungrier for heaven. I want God to use my dad's heart attack for his glory. And if my dad was here, you would have just heard amen, amen, and amen. Here's what I want us to take away from all this. As Christians, we need to focus on praying more for the spiritual and eternal things than the physical and temporary things. I said this a few weeks ago. How many times do we pray, God, heal me, as opposed to God, fix me? It is better to have a sick body and a healthy soul than a healthy body and a sick soul. Ronnie Floyd, I don't know how many of you know who he is, but he's president of the Southern Baptist Conference. I like what he said. He said, if we prayed for souls to come to Christ half as much as we prayed for people to be healed, we would have a whole lot more people being saved. As Doreen comes up to play the final song, I want to close with Isaiah 53, 5, and 6. It says, but he, speaking of Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. Jesus was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace with God was upon him. And by Jesus' wounds or stripes, we are healed. I said earlier, they ain't got a thing to do with your physical healing, but it's got everything to do with your spiritual healing. The Bible says we are sin-sick people. He wants to take care of that problem. And verse 6 goes on, it says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him, speaking of Jesus, the iniquity of us all. I don't know what sin's in your life. I don't know what sin's been in your life. I don't know all the sins you've ever committed. But what I know is this. All the sins you've ever committed, all the sins you'll ever commit, Jesus took them to the cross. Past, present, and future. And in essence, he's saying, you know what? I've done paid the price for every sin you've ever committed, every sin you'll ever commit. And if you'll place your faith in me, if you'll seek me to be your Lord and Savior, I will forgive you of all those sins. And I will grant you eternal life. That should be the desire of all of our hearts. He may have taken all of our sins to the cross, and he may have paid the price for them, but if we choose to live our life without putting our faith in Christ, there will be a day when we'll end up paying for our own sin. And we don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. So I guess my question to you is, have you ever committed your life to the Lord Jesus? Have you placed your faith in Him? Do you believe that when He went to the cross, He went to pay the price for your sins, or do you think He just wasted His time? I've said it before, you've probably heard other preachers say it, the nails didn't keep Him on the cross, His love for you did. And what a shame it is when someone loves you so much, but you're rejecting. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, I would encourage you to do that right here, right now, today, as this final song's played. Simply saying, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I come to You because I need to be cleansed. I need to be forgiven. I'm asking You to come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior, and give me the eternal life. And if your heart pours that out to Jesus, He will do exactly that. If you've got any questions, any thoughts, any concerns about any of that, feel free to see me here before you leave today. I would love to talk to you about it. And folks, the altar is open for anybody that wants to come down for prayer time. I want to say, you know, there's a lot of teaching out there on healing and all this stuff, and I get why the church is so confused. You've got these guys on TV and these churches that says, you don't have to be sick, you're a Christian, God's healed you through His blood, and it's just really ridiculous. And so I can get why sometimes we can be confused about all that. And so if you have questions or, you know, different, if you're just wondering about it, feel free to see me. We'll talk about it. I don't know. I don't want people being confused about that. And, you know, my purpose here today was not to say we don't pray for the sick. I've tried to be very clear about that, but I know human nature is we only hear what we want to hear a lot of times, and so that's why I continue to reemphasize that. I guess something I did not say, there is some promises in Scripture that we'll be healed, but it's not till we get the kingdom of heaven. You got a promise there. No more sickness, no more tears. That'll be the day that we'll rejoice. And so I don't know. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just come for You this morning, Lord. Every one of us, one of the things all of us have in common is we've either been sick, we are sick, or we're going to be sick. Lord, may You give us the right view. May You give us the right heart towards it. Lord, I'd even pray that maybe You'd be merciful and heal us. First, you know, just from a relational standpoint, we don't like to see ourselves or loved ones sick. And so certainly, relationally, we want to see people healed. And there are times when You just, in Your mercy, choose to do that. But Lord, I'd also pray You'd give us wisdom and insight into maybe there's a reason behind our sickness. It could be anywhere from, you know, maybe it's something to glorify You. Maybe we need to make changes in our own lives. Maybe it's an eating habit issue. Maybe it's this, that, or the other. I don't know. Maybe it's because You want a lost person to see how we handle sickness as a testimony to You. But Lord, may we grasp it the way You mean it. And with all the bogus and the false teachings that's out there on healing, Lord, if anybody in here is kind of confused on that or whatever, you know, let's just talk. Let's see what Scripture does say. Because first and foremost, that's what's most important. And Lord, I thank You for everyone that took time out of such a beautiful day to come here to worship You and to be amongst one another here at Grace Baptist Church MacArthur. I thank You for every one of them and ask You, Lord, to just be with them as they depart. In Christ's name, amen.